So we're going to go right into the Word. So Sister Fowler, if you would put up, there you go. This is what we're going to talk about today, the spirit of liberty. And I got to say it again. I tried all week long to preach something else. I got to say now I'm glad I failed. I don't much care for failure, but when the Spirit of God has His way and Jimmy doesn't have his, it's a good day. So, stretch your hands toward me if you would, help me. Because if you're here for the first time or you haven't been here long, you won't know what this means, but there's rabbits all over the place right now. And I want to chase each and every one of those furry bunnies. There's our next generation of world changers. Hallelujah, Father. Lord, I pray that I'd get out of your way. I know that I'll be the speaker, but Father, I pray that the Spirit is the author. That your people would hear your voice above and beyond and sandwiched in between mine. And Lord, that you would create wellness with words. I pray that you would be successful in our hearts today of erasing those pains and those handicaps and those self-limiting thoughts that we've had for so many years. Help us to know you and how much you love us and who we are in you, so that we could walk in a manner that's pleasing to you and do things that literally do change the world. We thank you for it today in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start out with the question, and the question is, have you ever longed to break free from something that held you back? The struggle between what you once believed was possible and what you've endured. Have you ever dreamed or thought, I was meant for more than this? That there's got to be more to my life than what I'm experiencing so far. I know this is the right message for you, because like I said, if it wasn't, I would have come up with something else. And I know you're the people that need to hear this. So today I want to talk to you about liberty. Liberty is found in the Spirit of the Lord. And it's both physical as well as spiritual. It's not just confined to spiritual. And nor is it just confined to the natural. It is both. It's complete and profound emancipation. Put up on the screen if you would, and this is where we will get started. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. I want to read this to you out of the Amplified Version. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty is defined in the Amplified Bible as emancipation from bondage and freedom. Now to understand, listen, I want us to define what liberty is as well as slavery. Because we have to understand that since man sold himself into slavery, the conflict between heaven and hell, light and darkness, God and the earth cursed system has been the battle between liberty and enslavement. God has, since man sold himself, God has been endeavoring to set men free. And the Bible says here that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Liberty is defined as freedom from restraint. The biblical understanding of liberty is freedom not just from spiritual or physical bondage, but from both. It's from sin, it's from guilt, it's from death, and I'm going to show you it's from everything sin has caused. What is slavery? Listen to this. Slavery is defined as a person who is subject to the will of another. Doesn't necessarily mean there's chains and whips. Amen. It means there's a loss of will. You can be enslaved to all kinds of things, natural, spiritual, emotional, relational. A person who is subject to the will of another, one who has no ability to act on their own will, one who has lost the power of resistance, Selah, one who has lost the ability to say no. I'll not do that. I'll not give in to it this time. You'll not treat me that way again. One who surrenders himself to any power, whatever, as a slave to passion, to lust, even to ambition. Now, in the natural world, they say that freedom must be fought for and won, but that's in the natural. In the kingdom, I want you to understand this. If you're in Christ, you are free. So the fight is not to obtain freedom. Hear me when I say this. The fight is not to go back into bondage. I want to say that again because it's the upside down of the way the world approaches it. The world thinks you got to fight for your right to be free. But in the kingdom, Christ already fought that battle and won it. We receive it by faith in him. So our fight is for the right not to be enslaved in any capacity, to be free in our minds, to be free in our life. We have to fight for our right not to be enslaved. Because listen, the earth system, the earth curse system is a good way of saying it. It seeks to enslave people. It doesn't matter what they use. Free, listen, you got to understand, to the kingdom of darkness, a free man is a dangerous man. Go with me to John chapter 8. I want to read to you a few verses. John chapter 8, verse 31, reading through verse 33. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him. Who was he talking to? Jews that had believed him. He wasn't talking to those who did not believe. Get this. He was talking to believers. It's important to know who he was talking to. Jesus was talking to Jews who had believed him, and this is what he said. If you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen. Now look at verse 33. They answered him. Who answered him? The believers. They answered him and said, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Now, there's a point I'm making with this. And the point is, never argue for your right to stay where you are. Never say, I'm free enough. You need to understand that until the day you die, you should always be growing and increasing in understanding and in freedom in life. Because the more free you become, the more dangerous to the kingdom of darkness you are. Everyone say this, I'll never settle. Never do. Let me read this verse 33 out of the Passion Translation. Surprised by this, they said, we're the descendants of Abraham. We're Pentecostal. We're Baptist. We're Presbyterians. We're as free as anybody. This is what they're saying. But we're the descendants of Abraham, and we're already free. We've never been in bondage to anyone. How could you say that we will be released into more freedom? See, they had already believed. But what Jesus was trying to do then, and how many of you know he's the same yesterday, today, and forever? What he was trying to do then was to lead believers into a greater level of freedom so life would become bigger, bolder, and more beautiful. But they resisted his urging to grow because they said, I'm as free as I need to be. Don't fight for your right to be enslaved. If there's any area of life you're confined, you're restricted, you're not able to do what in your heart you know you would love to do, then in that area of life, you're restrained and you're confined. There's freedom for you in every area of life. But what you and I need to do is embrace that truth. It was for freedom that Christ set us free.
Amen.
That's an all-inclusive term. It wasn't partial freedom.
Right.
It wasn't freedom in this area and bondage in that area.
Right.
Mm.
Amen.
Be willing to embrace the greater levels of freedom in ever-increasing areas of life. There's a story, if you would put up on the screen, Luke chapter 19, and you know this. Jesus was approaching the city, and as he approached the city, the Bible says he wept. And not just a little bit, he bawled. He wept bitterly. And this is what he exclaimed as he was weeping. Would that you had known personally, even at least in this your day, the things that make for peace, for freedom, from all, and this is what I want you to hear, from all the distresses that are experienced as the result of sin. Not just some, but every, I know we're in church, but I'm going to use this term, every damnable thing that sin has caused in the human experience. God wants us to be free from that. He wants us free from disease. Disease was caused by sin. He wants us free from poverty. Poverty was caused by sin. Every damnable thing that sin caused, God wants to emancipate you from that. He said, I wish, Jesus is saying, I wish you would have received what I came to bring you. I came to bring you peace, but you resisted. How did you resist? They said, we're already free. See, if you think you've already arrived, you'll quit traveling. That's a good one right there. I'm going to mark that one down. When you think you're already there, you're going to quit pressing. I got enough for me and my four. I firmly believe that until we die, it ain't never enough. And it ain't about greed. It's about choices. Can I chase a rabbit real quick? You know what? Listen, my wife and I spent a better part of a decade traveling by plane everywhere we went. And you know, when I had to book a flight, I didn't book by desire. I booked by necessity.
Right?
You know, just like some of us, when we go to a restaurant, you don't order what you want to eat. Say, come on, you read the menu. That ain't freedom. Because you want this, but you settle for that. When we would book our plane travel, I went for the cheap seats. The cheap seats were never up front. I would walk by the front. Look at those big, cushy chairs that folded all the way back. Not like 2 degrees. I'm talking all the way back. They're eating a full course meal before I get to my stale peanuts. Cheap seat. Always seem to be within the smell and the sound of the... You heard every swoosh. I did not travel by desire.
That's right.
Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you... But not if you don't believe it. So I would walk by my desire to get to what was dictated. Many of us, we don't drive what we'd want to drive, and it ain't all about things. You got to understand that, but those are the easiest things to use. We're not operating in the anointing we want to operate in. We want to see the sick, but in the inside, we just think, well, I'm laying empty hands on empty heads, and ain't nothing going to happen. Well, according to your faith, that's why I resonated with that song. You and I have got to believe that there's more to this life than just living and dying, that we can achieve. The people of God ought to expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. But that means we got to believe that we are capable of more than this. That God really can't in my life, not just the life of my great-great-grandma who birthed in a... but in my life, I'm grateful for what God did 400 years ago. But I want him to do it today. I want him to do it here. I got to believe that God can do exceedingly and abundantly and above and beyond anything. So Jesus said, I wish that you would have heard the words. Now go to verse 44 of the same chapter. Is this okay this morning?
Yes,
no more small thinking at Real Life Church.
Amen.
No more fear. No more labels. No more impossibility. Verse 44, and they will dash you down to the ground. Why? Because you didn't hear the word. You didn't receive peace. They'll dash you down to the ground, you, Jerusalem, and your children within you, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another. Why? All because you did not come progressively to recognize and know and understand from observation and experience the time of your visitation. That is when God was visiting you. The time in which God showed himself gracious toward you and offered you salvation through Christ.
Amen.
You know, you and I can live a drama-free lifestyle. We can. Oh, we'll still have tests and trials. But it ain't so much of a test when you know the answers. And it ain't so much of a trial when you know you're going to win. Let's say out loud today together. Say, today,
I choose liberty.
Go with me to Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. And this, of course, is the verse that Jesus quoted famously in Luke chapter 4. I call it the mission statement of the Christ. This is what Isaiah said. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. And you know he's upon you.
Amen.
You have the same anointing as Christ. Not a cheap, artificial, pleather one. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners. Now, I love how the Lord left this open-ended. He didn't say captive of what? He just said captives. He left it open-ended. Now, some would say, well, that is restricted to freedom from sin. And I agree with the theory, just not the application. Because what they want to say is that he set you free from sin, so you're free spiritually. But physically, in the natural, in this world, you're still going to put up with everything the unbeliever puts up with. Because he no longer does miracles, he no longer heals, he no longer shows himself strong on behalf of those who seek him. So I believe absolutely that the initial freedom is from sin. But it trickles down to everything sin has caused. If I'm a prisoner and you set me free by opening up the door, that's wonderful. But I'm going to walk through the door. You got to understand that I'm going to walk
through
the door. Because if I'm free in this area, I'm free in that area. And if I'm free to leave here, that means I'm free to go. I'm not going to sit in the cell and sing, oh, won't I be happy over there, over there. Oh, won't I be happy over there. I'm not going to restrict my freedom till after death. Listen, liberty from sin and everything sin has brought into the human experience is God's desire. That's why I read Luke 19, verse 42. Put that back up on the screen if you would, Sister Fowler. Luke chapter 19, verse 42. And read, the things that make for peace, for freedom from all the distresses. Everything that's caused you distress in life. One of the two greatest causes of stress in life are sickness and poverty. There's freedom from that. What is healing? It's freedom from disease. From sickness and pain. What is prosperity? It's freedom from poverty. Why would I fight for my right to stay broke? Why would I fight for my right to stay sick? I think many of us, we've got too much. We're too familiar and too similar to the Pharisees that believed. They're the ones who said, you know what? I'm free. I believe you, but I'm free enough. And so they resisted the greater level of freedom that Christ wanted to bring him into. Can we say, no, no more? If Christ died so I could be free in that area, I don't want to stay confined. Confinement is not of God. Liberty is. That there again, it goes back to the great biblical struggle between enslavement and liberty. When Moses went to Egypt, he went to Egypt to do what? Liberate, to emancipate, to set free. Let my people go. The cry is still the same in different areas. Let my people in whatever area that confines us. Let's not be like them and say, you know what? I dance on Sunday, so I'm free enough. But on Monday, you're stressing about how you're going to pay your bills. Poverty confines you to live in certain areas, to live a certain way. You ever heard confined to bed? That's what sickness and disease does, right? It confines. When you're free from sickness, you got choices. Do you want to go mountain climbing or surfing? When you're sick, you don't got those choices. When you've been set free from poverty, you're free to buy first-class tickets if you want. No more toilet dwelling. Blue water swirling. Feel like Martin Luther when I walk to the front of the plane. Free at last! Free at last! Y'all ain't. See, listen, some of you don't even like what I'm preaching right now. Because you're thinking it ain't about all of that. Baby, that's exactly what it's all about. It's about freedom. Not freedom to hurt yourself and hurt others and sin against God. Because the great law of the land now is love. I love God too much to use my freedom to sin against Him. And I love the brothers and the sisters in the kingdom too much to trespass against them. But I'm free. I'm not as free as I want to be, but I'm on my way. How about you? You know, Isaiah cried out. I'm trying to hurry up here. Isaiah cried out when the people of Israel were coming back from bondage. He cried out, build up, build up. Remove every obstacle from before my people. That's what the Spirit of God is trying to do right now. Remove the obstacles from you. So you can dream again. It doesn't matter what your age is. Doesn't matter what your gender is. Doesn't matter where you come from, what you've been through. God wants you to dream again. He's the dream. He's the way maker and the dream giver. What is the source of our liberty? Well, the Word and the Spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit is the agent of our liberty. Amen. Go with me to John chapter 16, verse 13. Reading this again out of the Amplified. Is this okay this morning?
Yes.
But when He, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit, comes, He will guide you into all the whole full. It seems like truth is kind of an important thing. Deceit will always bring you into bondage. Truth, as Jesus said, will always set you free. So understand that when you believe a lie, bondage is the result. When you believe the truth, liberty is the result. So Jesus said, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak His own message on His own authority, but He will tell whatever He hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to Him, and He will announce and declare to you the things that are to come that will happen in the future. The role of the Spirit in our lives is teaching, guiding, reminding, and transforming. Transforming us from slaves into free men. From small thinkers into big thinkers.
Yes.
From the impotent to the powerful.
Yes, sir.
From the overcome to the overcomer.
Amen.
Now, one of the things we got to understand is He only brings truth. Understand, truth is the only commodity heaven deals in.
Yes. Right.
So when we begin to entertain lies, whether we're hearing them or telling them, we are spinning a web of bondage.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
We need to let truth build our lives and let truth build our lives and truth. There you go. It's my own quote and I couldn't remember it. But I was testing you, buddy. You passed. Y'all mark that down. Cleve gets a raise. Twice what I'm paying him now. That's it. Say it again, Cleve. Oh, don't mess up now. Bam. Go with me to John chapter 8, verse 32 out of the Passion Translation. If you do what?
Embrace.
It literally means hug the truth. Consider it dear. If you embrace the truth, it will release more freedom into your lives. It'll release more freedom. That means as good as it is. And see, if you and I have been walking with God for any length of time, we have to admit our life now is better than our life then. But it ain't as good as it's going to get. And I ain't talking about heaven. Heaven's going to be grand. But I like what Brother Hagin used to tell us. We ought to have a little bit of heaven to go to heaven with. As good as it is, it's going to get gooder. Because we're the embracers of truth. And the more we embrace the truth, what is the truth? Christ in me. The hope of glory. That all things are possible to me because I believe. Thy word is truth. And as we embrace that, He elevates us out of bondage and into a greater level of freedom. And once we're at this level for a little bit, He brings us to yet another level. Until the grace of God becomes so manifest that we look at our life and think, my God, I never knew it could be this good. I never knew life could be this beautiful. And God would whisper it in our ear, you ain't seen nothing yet. Because after all, yeah, we're just getting started. So we need to live in liberty. As I said earlier, I'm trying to hurry up. We don't fight for freedom. It was fought and bought for us. But we got to make sure we don't surrender it. Because liberty can be lost. Just ask the congregation of the Galatian church. Go with me to Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Reading it to you out of the Passion Translation. Listen to what Paul said. Let me be clear. The anointed one has set us free. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Not partially, but completely and wonderfully free. We must always cherish this truth and stubbornly refuse to go back into the bondage of our past. Stubbornly refuse to surrender our liberty and our freedom in Christ to appease the religious-minded, small-minded people in our lives. If you surrender your liberty to win the free friendship of a legalist, you just went back into bondage. Faulty teaching and erroneous believing can bring a free man back into bondage. Galatians chapter 2, verse 4. I want to read this to you out of the Passion Translation again. Paul said, I met with them privately and confidently because what? False brothers had been secretly smuggled into the church meetings. They were sent to spy on the wonderful liberty and freedom that we have in Jesus the Anointed. Their agenda was to bring us back into the legalistic bondage of religion.
Wow.
Why would that happen? As I already told you, because if you're free, you're dangerous.
That's right. Amen.
And the earth curse system can't afford for you to be free. So it'll try everything on every level of life. Relational, financial, physical, emotional, to bring you back into some form of bondage.
Yes,
and we've got to stubbornly refuse to go back into any type of bondage. And I'm talking about on every single level. If you're confined in any area, you ought to resist that. And know that Christ set you free. Not just spiritually, but from every damnable thing that sin has caused.
Yes.
Go with me to Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. Paul, in one chapter from the false brothers getting in there, Paul now comes to Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. He says, what happened to you? The false brothers came in. Did you boneheads believe them that quick? That they told you you got to struggle? That God uses poverty to teach you? That God uses disease to keep you humble? That you got to carry that cross? What has happened to you, Galatians, to be acting so foolishly? You must have been under some evil spell. Didn't God open your eyes to see the meaning of Jesus' crucifixion? Wasn't he revealed to you as the crucified one? Now, listen, what worked in their lives was, Paul said, an evil spell. In the Weymouth translation, Weymouth uses the word sophistry. That's not a word I use very often. So I had to look it up. Y'all use the word sophistry? I've heard some of you talk. Y'all don't talk like that. It's an interesting word. Sophistry. I kind of like how it sounds. And this is what it means. It's an argument or a debate that sounds logical, but isn't spiritual. It's obscure, hard to understand, and yet even though it's confusing, it sounds kind of reasonable. But the intent is to confuse and deceive. So what Paul was saying is, what Paul preached was the simplicity of the gospel. Christ and Christ crucified. That he bared the price for all of it. Now in him all the promises of God are yes and amen. The simplicity of receiving what Christ did. Love, grace, and faith. Bam, that's it. Then some people come in and they're like preaching this hybrid. Well, you know, it's okay to have Jesus, but we need to cut the tip of it off. A little bit of legalism. Well, you know, I know he'll supply all your needs, but did you really give enough? Did you pray enough? You sacrifice enough? Did you do enough? And pretty soon the Galatians are saying, well, I don't really understand it, but it sounds reasonable. Certainly God wants a little bit of hardship and burden and anxiety and stress in my life. Because after all, it's normal to freak out. And we forget the Bible says to cast some of our anxiety over on him. What translation y'all reading? All? But when it's obscure and it's kind of complex and it sounds reasonable and we begin to believe it, do you know how many people have been talked out of their healing? I'm serious. People that have been healed of cancer and talked out of it. Do you know how many people received a blessing and were talked out of it? And the Galatians were talked out of the simplicity of believing that Jesus paid the price and they were free. So they went back into partial bondage. And partial bondage is bondage. It was a complicated message and it ends in bondage. Now in closing, listen, there's some very practical steps to living in the freedom of the Spirit. You ready for these? Very practical, very easy. Number one, surrender. Don't resist. When God speaks to you, surrender to the voice of the divine. Yes. Surrender daily to the Spirit's leading. Whatever he says to you, do it. Listen, when God gives you an instruction, do you know what the goal of that instruction is? Freedom. That's it. When God asks you to do something, he's asking you to step into a greater level of freedom. When God asks you to give something, he's not asking you to give in order to impoverish you. He's asking you to give so that you can step into a greater level of freedom. So if you and I want to live as free, that means we surrender to him. We don't resist and fight for our right to hold on to it. If God asks you to give something that means everything to you because of its emotional connection, he's trying to set you free from something that in the future would be dangerous to you. And number two is the same as number one, obedience. Just obey. Be quick to obey what he says. Surrender, obey. And know that the intent of his instruction is always greater freedom.
Yes. Amen.
And number three, fellowship and accountability. Now, this is a big one. This is a big one right here. Because just because you say something is God. Can I get up under your makeup? I know you're got you bat like 100 and you never miss it. But just because you say something is God doesn't mean it is.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
And I have long believed that the greater the impact of acting on what you say is God, the better it is for some accountability. In the multitude of counselors.
That's right.
Right? I mean, is this okay? I'm bringing it to a close, so you don't got to. If you say, I feel like the Lord told me to give $5. Maybe that's not a life-altering event. It's $5. Spend more than that at Starbucks. Give the $5. Now, if you say God told me to drop my wife and my children off at my in-laws because they're in the way of my ministry, And it's happened. She and I know about it. That requires some accountability. That's a life-altering event. If you say, God told me to quit my job and move to Africa tomorrow, and you ain't never even been overseas. Because trust me, it ain't what you see on TV. Paris is beautiful for a weekend, but get outside in the suburbs. It's a nasty place. That requires some accountability. So what I'm saying is, if you believe that God is telling you to do something, if it's a $5, give it. Amen. But if it's a life-altering event, you ought to have somebody in your life and you can go to them and say, I feel like God is saying this.
Right.
And if it's, yeah, that's God. Then act on it. Do it. Because God is wanting to set you free and make your dreams come true and bring you into a higher level of freedom. So number one, surrender. Number two, obedience. Number three, fellowship and accountability. Now, in closing, I want to ask you a question. What areas in your life do you need freedom? What areas do you need to be free in? For some of us, it's a financial thing. Everything else in our life is good. We just ain't got enough money to pay our bills. That ain't God. The religious say it is. I say it ain't. And I think I got more word to support my stance than they do. Disease and sickness. Everything from cancer to the cold. That ain't God. Brother Hagin used to tell us, we've heard of the bird flu. We've heard of the swine flu. But ain't never heard of the heavenly flu. Have you? Where's it come from? If it don't come from heaven, I don't want it. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above. If it comes from China, I don't necessarily want it. Can we say vid? As in co? You don't have to receive that. Pastor, you're a little bit fanatical now. You know we live in the world. Baby, you live in the world, but you ain't. Because even as he is in, see, Cleve, Yvonne, come up here because you're going to share some announcements, and you didn't know this, but you're going to receive the offering, so I've done worked my part. Come on up. I ain't done, but you can come up here. What was I saying? I don't know either. Yeah, that's a good one. Thank you, love. I know someone was listening. You and I are not natural people trying to be spiritual. You and I are spiritual beings who God in his grace has left us here for a season so that we can do the works of the kingdom. You're not here to endure. You're here to change.
That's right. Amen.
That's what you're here for.
Yes.
So for however many years God leaves us on the planet, you and I've got to learn to discern and define ourselves as something different. We're the anointed of God.
Yes.
The greater one abides within me. He said I could lay my hands upon the sick and they would. You're here to be an agent of change. In a world that desperately needs change. But you got to be free to make a difference. You know, when I was a kid, I served as a lifeguard. And you know, one of the first things I learned, and this is when Baywatch was big. You remember that slow motion? I never watched it because I was too holy. I just heard things. Being a lifeguard ain't nothing like that. One of the first things you learn is if you want to save someone, you got to learn how to swim. If we're in the same predicament as they are, we can't be of much help.
That's right. Amen.
But as God has set us free, and drama and calamity and anxiety are no longer a part of our life, that we're blessed physically, financially, relationally, spiritually, we can make a difference in the world. So let's not resist. Let's embrace. And let's become the freest people this world has ever seen since Jesus walked the roads. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap.